Nishmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja o vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.
Pozdravljeni v že tretji oddaji Drogerija. Sicer danes z nekoliko tehničnimi težavami, tako da bo se bolj z mano, kakor pa z tistimi, ki smo jih intervjuali. Govorili pa bomo o duševnih boleznih in povezavi z drogami bolj s konopljo. Še prej pa nekaj novic iz sveta. Na jugozahodu Kolumbije je več kot 7000 ljudi zapustilo svoje domove zaradi bojev med FARC-om, Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, in pa državno vojsko. FARC je obtožen v proizvodnje in preprodaje kokaina že več desetletij in ker se ni želel razorožiti, tako kot sestrska National Liberation Army LN, s katero je Kolumbija začela mirovne pogovore na Kubi prejšen teden, se je Kolumbija odločila za napad na FARC. Zanimivo pa je, da je ta FARC še nekaj let nazaj obiskal tudi direktor newyorške borzne hiše. Kaj so se pogovarjali med FARC-om in direktorjem tovrstne organizacije, seveda lahko sem znano. Medtem pa v sosednjem Peruju predsednik Garcia izdal nalog, da za proizvajalce in preprodajalce kokaina ni več milosti. Ukazal je, da se bombardira vse tovarne, vse laboratorije in vsa letališča, ki jih služijo preprodajalcem in proizvajalcem kokaina. V Rimu pa so včeraj ponovno protestirali v opomin vladi, da naj že zamenja zakone, ki jih je nekaj dni pred odhodom Berlusconi sprejel. Ti zakoni so spremenili prejšnjo razlikovanje med trdimi in mehkimi drogami in postavili italijansko zakonodajo v eno izmed najbolj nazadnjaših zakonodaj, kar se tiče drog v Evropi. Po novi zakonodaji ti že za samo posedovanje vzamejo vozniško, vzamejo ti pasoš in onemogočijo s tem potovanje v tujino. Lahko izgubiš tudi lastnino v primeru, da gojiš samo eno samo rastlino. Do tega tudi, da če te dobijo za uživanje katerekoli droge, si prisiljen v zdravljenje, nimaš nobenih izgovorov, moraš iti. Prodi, ki se seveda je obljubil, da čim pride na oblast te zakone spremeni in jih povrne v prejšnjo stanje, tega do zdaj še ni storil. Ima pa čas, kakor zgleda, da sodeluje vedno tesneje z raznimi agencijami Združenih držav Amerike v boju proti proizvodnji oziroma proti preprodaji drog. In tokrat je bil spet v zadnjih mesecih neka priložnost za fotoshooting teh ljudi, saj se hvalisajo, da so v Trstu aretirali več deset ljudi, zajeli več 100 kilogramov heroina in s tem zadali en težek in trden udarec kartelom drog.
Oh, God. Did you eat all this acid?
That's right. Music!
You better pray to God there's some thorazine in that bag. Otherwise, you're in bad fucking trouble.
Music, man. Put that tape on!
What tape?
Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit.
You want me to throw this thing into the tub when White Rabbit peaks? Is that it?
Oh, man. I was beginning to think I was going to have to go outside and get one of the goddamn mates to do it.
Oh, man. I'll do it. What are friends for? You ready? Close your eyes. Yeah, good boy.
Where are they?
The Independent, znani angleški časopis, je pred nekaj tedni spravil v zrak skoraj celo Evropo z svojim jokavim upravičilom, za svojo pozicijo izpred 10 let, da naj se konopljo legalizira. Za to pozicijo novo so se odločili zaradi tega, ker naj bi bilo vse več dokazov o tem, da konoplja vpliva na duševno stanje ljudi oziroma da ima močan vpliv na pojave bolezni, kakršna so skizofrenija, depresija, manična depresija in tako naprej. Vendar pa, če se pogleda natančneje, kakšni razlogi so bili za to pozicijo, seveda hitro upuhnejo. Naprimer, Independent piše, da je velika razlika v temu, da se danes uporablja, uživa vse več skanka in vse manj old school stuff, kakor oni imenujejo domačico. Vendar pa, če smo natančni, niti se ne ve, koliko močnejši naj bi ta skank bil od domačice, piše od 20, potem nekateri drugi 25, spet tretji 30 krat močnejši. Če pa pogledamo bolj natančno, kaj vse se uživalo, naprimer v 60-ih letih v Veliki Britaniji, vemo, da je bilo takrat veliko več konopljega olja, hašiševega olja in tako naprej in to so proizvodi konoplje, ekstrakti konoplje, ki so še močnejši od današnjega skanka. Tako da govoriti o tem, da je zgolj zaradi neke spremembe v snovi, zaradi neke drugačnega načina proizvodnje prišlo do veliko več problemov povezanih z uživanjem lete, je nesmiselno. Drugi razlog, ki ga navajajo, je ta, da vse več da ljudje, da večina tistih, ki so shizofreni, uživa obenem konopljo. Zdaj, če si pogledamo natančno, se vidi, da v zadnjih desetletjih ni nobenega porasta v shizofreniji, ni nič več ljudi, ki imajo to takozvano bolezen. Medtem pa, ko se je seveda spremenilo to, da več ljudi, kakor pač recimo pred 40 leti, uživa konopljo, ki ima shizofrenijo. Ne? Tako da pač, to je isto, kot če bi rekel, da danes veliko več ljudi uživa, ne vem, hamburgerje, kakor je včasih bratvurštov in so zaradi tega bolj debeli. Ne? In od hamburgerju in od bratvurštov lahko rateš debel. Ne? To so zdaj te njihovi dokazi, s katerimi želijo nekak promovirati to idejo, da konoplja vpliva na duševno bolezenska stanja, med drugim tudi zaradi tega, ker so pač zabeležili en skokovit porast, recimo da 1000% porast ljudi, ki začnejo obiskovati razne terapevtske skupine zaradi problemov s konopljo. Zdaj pa seveda je tudi tukaj stvar v tem, da so se šele pred 2 leti v Angliji spostavile ustanove, ki zdravijo odvisnost in pa bolezenske stanje, ki naj bi nastala zaradi uporabe konoplje in pa tudi zaradi tega, ker pač vlada že dlje časa poziva starše, naj pač privedejo svoje otroke na zdravljenje. Tako da seveda tudi tukaj so te statistike izjemno zamegljene, oziroma, kakor je Chamberlain rekel, there's statistics, there's lies, there's damn lies and there's statistics. No, danes si pa lahko tudi, da mal gremo ven iz tega pogleda na svet, ki nam ga psihiatri vedno pogosteje želijo predočiti in nas prepričati v njihov prav, pa si lahko tudi, no, ne bomo si poslušali, ker sem jaz naredil včeraj napako in nisem snemal, lahko pa si preberemo, imamo gospodično, ki nam bo pomagala in bomo si prebrali pač članek oziroma intervju z gospodom Šalerjem, doktor Šalerjem, to je psiholog iz Amerike, ki že vrsto let deluje na področju drog, je iz University of Public Affairs iz Washingtona in ima seveda nekoliko drugačen pogled na psihiatrijo in pa na duševne bolezni in pa vplive drog na lete.
In v tem intervjuju govori s britanskim naglasom.
Ameriškim.
Ja, ampak v tem primeru.
Ja, v tem primeru.
We had 2 bags of 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of hyoglin, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, and 2 dozen amyls. Not that we needed all that for the trip, but once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
One toe over the line, sweet Jesus, one toe over the line. felt the joy and I learned about the pain. And my mama said, if I should choose to make a part of me, would surely strike me dead. And now I'm one toe over the line, sweet Jesus, one toe over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on.
No, in zdaj obljubljeni intervju. Prvo vprašanje. Mr. Schaller, could you in short tell us something about your stand on mental illness and the reasons supporting your opinion?
Certainly. First, we must recognize that, strictly speaking, there not only is no such thing as mental illness, but there can be no such thing as mental illness. This is because the mind is not a physical organ. Only physical organs, the body, can be sick, ill, or diseased. There is no such thing as the mind. Why do I say this? Because we cannot find the mind in the body. We cannot find the mind in a cadaver during an autopsy. Mind and brain are different. Many people equate the two, but that is inaccurate. If the two were the same, why do we have two separate words, mind and brain? Because the words mean different things. The brain is a physical organ and, of course, it can be diseased. That is, diseased, I'm sorry. The mind usually refers to behavior, how a person conducts himself. What people mean when they say mental illness is behavior they find disturbing or embarrassing, maybe even both. Treating mental illness is a lie. We cannot treat something that does not exist. What is really going on when people say they are treating mental illness is that they are engaging in social control. They are trying to control someone's behavior. Now, if you want to see a psychiatrist or some other mental health professional, and if you want to believe in a fairy tale called mental illness, by all means, I think you should be free to do so. And if you want to take some drug to control your behavior, I've no problem with that. Scientifically speaking, no disease, I'm sorry, on one more occasion, is being treated. What concerns me is when people are coerced by psychiatrists and their cohorts. I object to what we call involuntary treatment. Really, involuntary treatment for mental illness is assault and battery. That is, masquerading as medicine. I sometimes have some troubles with my own language, even though it is indeed mother tongue. That is what I am opposed to. Psychiatric coercion and psychiatric slavery. Probably psychiatric, right? So you see, when it comes to real diseases, everyone has the right to refuse treatment. Not so when it comes to mental illness.
There is ever more talk about drugs leading to mental disruptions, and evidence for it finally exists, psychiatrists claim. Could you tell us something about the connections between using drugs, in particular cannabis, and mental health? Does using drugs lead people to involuntarily use them over and over again, and does it lead them to schizophrenia, manic depression, etc.?
I don't see any evidence that using marijuana or many drugs causes people to commit crimes. In any event, I certainly don't think people should be excused for criminal behavior because they choose to use some drug. Since I do not believe in mental illness, I don't think drugs can cause mental illness. Can some drugs have an adverse effect on the brain? Of course. If you have a tumor in your brain, it can affect your behavior. If you have a head injury, it can affect your behavior. Similarly, drinking too much alcohol can impair your ability to drive a car. Consuming too much of certain drugs can impair your ability to make good decisions. Right? These are drug effects and nothing new. But no drugs cause a person to become mentally ill because that assumes that there is such a thing as mental illness. As I've just explained, mental illness cannot exist. What people mean by mental illness is disturbing and or embarrassing behavior. Can drinking too much alcohol cause a person to do something he might be embarrassed about the next day? Well, I think we all know the answer to that.
Of the myriad uses of alcohol, we know that there are those that become violent while intoxicated, some quit as a consequence, while others drink more in order to sustain that feeling which makes them above all feel stronger. People tend to show understanding for this kind of behavior, while under the influence of cannabis, few become paranoid, and from experience we know that many of these quit smoking since they don't feel just right any longer. But some of those pursue smoking. Excuse me. Some don't, and those are the base of the statistics on which the British psychiatrists lay their trust that ever more people develop mental disruptions by using cannabis. The stories they use are of people that perpetuate the ingestion of cannabis despite all the ill effects. Why do they commit themselves to this kind of behavior? You probably don't agree that it is due to the chemical imbalances in the brain caused by previous ingestion of THC.
There is no evidence that a chemical imbalance exists in the brain that causes a person to consume drugs. That is a lie perpetuated by people who have an economic and power investment in that point of view. Scientifically speaking, there is no chemical imbalance. People quit drugs because they want to quit. They use drugs because they want to consume them. They continue to use drugs at great expense to their health, their family, their job, again, because they want to do so. Why? There is no one answer. That is because everyone is different. No two people are identical. People consume drugs for different reasons, in different ways, with different results. These are choices people make. When a person continues to smoke, even though he may have inside, that is, emphysema, yes, or lung cancer, he still smokes because he wants to smoke. When psychiatrists and doctors claim such persons cannot quit, they are not telling the truth. Obviously, people can quit. They quit all the time, don't they? Why do people choose to destroy themselves? Again, the reasons are as varied as the people themselves.
We have a discussion in Slovenia now whether cannabis addicts should be treated together with addicts of other drugs or in special treatments designed for cannabis addicts alone. What is your opinion?
There is nothing to treat. Treatment for what? Smoking cannabis is a behavior, a choice, not a disease, not like cancer. You cannot choose to quit cancer. Everyone stops smoking or consuming cannabis the same way. They make a decision to do so. We cannot treat behavior. We can only control someone's behavior. Why on earth should we try to control someone for smoking marijuana? That is their business, not ours. I see nothing wrong with laws prohibiting drunk, that is, drunk driving or driving while intoxicated. These are to protect us from individuals who might harm others if they drive while intoxicated. That is a matter of criminal justice and law enforcement. Medicine has nothing to do with it. Government and doctors have no business protecting people from themselves. So realistic. Am I good tired to see with BS? Oh, yeah. You said you can't get me out of the race. Oh, man, it's just a big disgrace. The way you drive back yard. Most admitted in treatment are teenagers that were brought there because of their parents or teachers. Can treatment under such conditions be successful? No. Again, there is nothing to treat. Can teenagers be controlled by their parents and other adults? Maybe, for a little while. But in the long run, no. A don't is a do. Besides, there is nothing to treat. This is a matter for the family, not doctors and the state. Parents who want to turn their children over to treatment professionals don't want to be parents. They are irresponsible parents. They need to pay attention to their children, talk to them, listen to them. There is nothing to treat.
Do you make distinctions as to the hazards of drugs between the young and the mature? It is said that until children don't develop fully, that is, that the central nervous system and the brain does not develop fully, which is supposedly around the years of 21, would you agree that the hazards to mental health when using drugs are thus much more hazardous for young people?
Well, I think the age limit is arbitrary. We should at least be consistent. If children are old enough to be drafted to enlist in the armed forces, to kill others for the state, then I think they are old enough to make decisions about what they can put in their bodies. I generally oppose age limits, period. I think this is a matter for the family, not the state. I don't want the state to parent my children. It's none of their business. If my child causes a problem under my watch, then that is my responsibility as a parent.
So, for the end, what would your advice be to the patients, to the parents that realize their children smoke cannabis?
What is wrong with smoking marijuana? I think parents need to remember that the example set is the lesson learned. The issue is not what they tell their children to do. how they should be. The issue is that children learn how to think and behave by the examples set by their parents. I say, up until about the age of 18, what children do is primarily the fault of the parents. After 18, hold the individual responsible.
But we don't have no friends in a high society.
No, to je bil tak malo bolj delovni intervju z gospodom Šalerjem. No, s tem gospodom, doktorjem, profesorjem se bomo še pogovarjali v prihodnosti. On je napisal tudi več knjig, predvsem o odvisnosti. In seveda je velik nasprotnik tega redukcionističnega pogleda današnjih psihiatrov, ki pač izvira iz recimo konca 19. stoletja strani Wundta. Tajnega psihiatra, ki pač trdi, da so je vsakakršno obnašanje, osebnost, pač vse, kar ljudje delamo, zgolj in nič drugega kot kemična reakcija v naših možganih. Zdaj, če bi recimo nemški psihiatri, ki so bili pač zelo dobri v temu, da so razlikovali na ljudeh oziroma odkrivali, zakaj je nekdo inferioren in nekdo superioren, bi lahko že zgolj na jeziku, ki ga govorimo, odkrili, kdo je, recimo, če bi izbrali nemški jezik za superioren, bi lahko rekli, da so vsi drugi inferiorni, kajti že samo to, da izustimo neko besedo, se morajo neke kemične snovi premakniti v naših možganih. Ne? In zatorej pač, če imamo dovolj dobre slike možganov, ne, lahko tudi te detaljne spremembe slikamo in potem lahko vidimo razlike, ne, med Nemci, ki govorijo nemško in Slovenci, ki govorimo slovensko ali pa komorkoli drugim in dobimo različne slike. Ne. Seveda ima vsaka stvar podlago v možgani v neki kemiji, vendar pa so odločitve posameznikov še zmeraj nadrejene in pač ideja tistih, da lahko kontroliramo obnašanje z raznimi tujimi snovmi in da te tuje snovi prevzamejo osebo do te mere, da ni več sposobna odločati za sebe, je kratko malo neumnost. Seveda pa se je to mnogim všeč, predvsem psihiatrom, zaradi tega, ker lahko na ta način ustvarjajo nove terapevtske skupnosti, na ta račun dobivajo več denarja, dobivajo vedno več bolnikov, ki so pač danes za njih kot sužnji za sužnje lastnike v preteklih stoletjih. Z dr. Šalerjem se bomo še kdaj pogovorili tudi o predvsem o tej poziciji, da se tega združenja države in pa medicine, ne, predvsem na primeru tega, da se država ločila od cerkve in kako se v zdajšnjem času država zbližuje za medicino in je medicina vedno bolj le zgolj roka države pri predvsem družbenih smernicah, ki naj bi jih si politiki želeli videti, da bi bile sprejete med ljudmi. Naslednjič bomo govorili o Združenih narodih in redukcionističnem pogledu Združenih narodov predvsem zadnjih 10 let, kako pač se oni soočajo z mednarodnim kriminalom, predvsem navezavi z drogami in kako ta seveda vedno bolj postaja nesmišljen in osnovnošolski. Za koga, komu v namen, to tudi seveda se lahko sprašujemo. Lep pozdrav vam želim, z vami sem bil Matej Janković. Nasvidenje.
Nishmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Oh, no. Don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja o vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.